Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship this morning. We're glad you're here with us this beautiful day, and we won't hold it against God that this would have been perfect weather for a barbecue. We still had a wonderful time. We still had a wonderful day together, sharing in the joys of what it means to be a church family. It's an experience that we get not only when we go and have special occasions, but also every time we gather together on a Sunday morning. We gather in this space where we are surrounded by the love of Christ and by a group of people who are also interested in learning more about Jesus and about growing their faith. And though we are nearing the end of our walk through the book of Acts, there is still plenty more exciting new stories in the Bible, and there always will be. That's one of the things that makes it so much fun to be a part of worship and a part of a Christian community, as we never run out of stories to explore and ways for our faith to grow together. So let's gather together today, focus our hearts on Jesus, our Savior, and grow as a community and grow in our love for God. Let us begin our time of worship together by singing our first hymn, number 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Thank you.
be seated. I would like to invite our scripture reader to come forward now as our young church gets to go and enjoy the beautiful sunshine as they walk down to the church hall.
Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 16, reading from verse 6 to verse 15. And you'll find this on page 169 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Listen to God's word. In Troas, Paul's vision. They traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit did not let them preach the message in the province of Asia. When they reached the border of Mysia, they tried to go into the province of Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they traveled right on through Mysia and went to Troas. That night, Paul had a vision in which he saw a Macedonian standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as Paul had this vision, we got ready to leave for Macedonia because we decided that God had called us to preach the good news to the people there. In Philippi, the conversion of Lydia. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace and the next day to Neapolis. From there, we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. On the Sabbath, we went out to the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gather for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of the house had been baptized, she invited us, "Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us to go. May God bless this reading from his holy word. We will now sing from CH4, hymn number 770, "I Love You, Lord."
Please be seated. As we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading, let us first offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, as we turn to your scriptures once more, we ask that you would open up our eyes and ears to hear your voice for us this day. Let your heavenly spirit inspire us still and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Oh, Bless us this time, that it would be your voice that is spoken and shared among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, our story today is our penultimate story in our walk through the book of Acts. But the astute among you will notice that there are lots of stories in the book of Acts that we did not get a chance to get to. And in fact, we are several chapters shy of the end of Acts. But I think that the story in Acts 16 is a good window into how the rest of the book of Acts is probably going to go for Paul. So today we have the first portion of the story, and next Sunday we will hear how the rest of Acts 16 goes, and it will give us some insight into what is going to happen through the remaining chapters. And all of these stories begin the same way, with discernment. Paul and Silas are now traveling together and are trying to decide where it is they should go. They initially tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them, a phrase that we often don't see in the New Testament. They continue on, having tried to find their own path, when one night Paul receives a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him, "Come to Macedonia and help us." And so they set out and set sail, going on the long journey to arrive at Macedonia to stay for several days. Having finally discerned where they should be and going into the city, Paul goes down to the river on the Sabbath day, expecting to find a place of prayer. Because one of Paul's consistent patterns is that when he arrives at a new place, he will go and seek out the local Jewish believers and then reach out to the Gentiles. And what should Paul find on this riverbank but a group of women who have gathered here? And very important to note, the scriptures do not tell us what they were doing. Many people, I think, assume that a group of women gathered together on the riverbank are doing the washing. However, if they are Jewish, this is the Sabbath day. You would not work on the Sabbath. You especially wouldn't do your washing. And we know that these people are believers because we are introduced to the woman by name of Lydia, who is a worshiper of God. So she surely wouldn't be working on the Sabbath day. Now, that doesn't explicitly mean she is Jewish, because there are many Gentiles who do believe in God. We met the centurion just a few weeks ago, Cornelius, who believed very fiercely in God. But this is still a gathering place that Paul thought would be a great place for worship and discovers women of faith have gathered. So perhaps it is a worship gathering or a gathering of the faithful. And so Paul begins to preach to them, and they listen. And Lydia in particular is moved, and both she and her household are baptized. She then convinces Paul and his retinue to stay at her home, and this continues to be a success story of sharing the gospel with people, not just in Israel, not just in Jerusalem, but indeed around the world as well. Because remember, we have gone far from Jerusalem. We are in Macedonia, a journey measured in weeks, not days. And he is in an isolated community of Jewish believers, something that is going to become a staple for Paul's ministry. Because Paul is reaching out in the area known as the diaspora, where Jews who have been displaced from their homes in Israel and Judah have been scattered to the corners of the empire. These people no longer have access to the temple and are frequently not in their own home nation. But they still believe in God, and they still long to find connections to those who believe in God and have this same faith as them. And thus the women have gathered here on the riverbank. The temple in Jerusalem is a world away, and who knows where the nearest synagogue is? This place that Paul has recognized as a holy site is where they have gathered on Sabbath day. And so we have met the woman named Lydia and are told through a variety of ways that she is a woman of great means. First, we are introduced to her as a purple cloth dealer. This is a process that is very intensive. You would have had to gather up very specific seashells, ground them into a powder, and used lots of it to dye your cloth. It is a very labor-intensive job, and one that results in a very expensive product. Purple is known as the color of royalty, because if you could afford purple cloth, you were probably royal, because that was the only way you could afford such extravagance. We are also told that Lydia is the head of her household, because when she is moved by Paul's words and commits to the faith, she and her household are baptized. And then she puts action to her faith, and she hosts Paul and those who are traveling with him, because it's more than just Paul and Silas, even though they're the only ones named at the start of this. Because in the verses leading up to this, Timothy has joined them. And the verbiage of the story is, we went to Macedonia, and she let us stay in her home. Meaning that the gospel writer Luke, who is the author of Acts, is here at this point in the story because he has moved from third-person narrative to first-person narrative. Because we were taken there. So she is serving as an anchoring point for those who are traveling with Paul and trying to grow the faith, giving them food, giving them shelter, and supporting this community that is trying to teach the good news of Jesus Christ. And they need all the help they can get. It's a very difficult task to try and share the word of God. We saw last week how much trouble Peter got into when he was thrown in prison. We saw at the beginning of this chapter how Paul and Silas were struggling to even find the way forward. They traveled along a long portion of what is modern-day Turkey and were rebuked for their chosen pathway by the Spirit of Jesus. And eventually they had to rely on a vision to come to Paul and show them the way. But it takes great skill to be able to see a vision, let alone to understand it. And this is a story that I am all too familiar with, of fumbling around and trying to find the pathway forward. It's something that you see all the time in ministry, and it's something that happened to me as well. I did not have a vision of a man from Scotland telling me to come here, but it was really close. I watched the 2020 General Assembly at a friend's suggestion, and I felt the Spirit of God come upon me in a way I have never felt before in my life. And I knew I had to find my way to Scotland because God was calling me here. And it felt like God was calling me here because all of the different barriers that were coming up, ways beyond my own means were helping us to combat them. And so eventually I did make it to Scotland and I served in Kinross by chance. And when I was nearing the end of my time serving, I didn't really know where I was supposed to go. I'm here. You told me to come to Scotland. Where now? Nothing. I was trying to discern where I was supposed to go, and so I was applying to lots of different churches. The act of applying to a new charge or a new job is something that can be very draining, in part because of how many times people can say no to you. I sent an email to one church and within 5 minutes received a no email right back. I met with another church and had a conversation and sit down with them, and they called and told me no. I made it pretty far through one interview process, and in the end, they told me no, we're going to go with a different direction. And every time I was rejected, it felt very much like the door was being closed right in front of me by the Holy Spirit saying, no, no, not this one either. And I remember praying repeatedly, I know you've called me here to Scotland, but where am I supposed to go? Silence, yet again. I was beginning to worry because I felt the pressures of trying to find my next charge, in part because the presbytery had made a new rule that you couldn't stay at a place for more than 2 years, and we were coming up on a year and a half, and I was running out of time. And I was also beginning to doubt whether or not I had been called to Scotland or I had misinterpreted things. Constant rejection can make you wary of trying again. But it's a good thing I didn't give up, or else I would have never found my way here. It was a process that, in many ways, was similar to how I came to Scotland, because things kept lining up in very good ways. At the time, in Kinross, the treasurer for the church lives in Dollar. So when I said, hey, could you give me a lift to Saki? He said, oh yeah, I know where that is. Not a problem. I'll just go home while you're having your interview. And you call me, I'll come pick you up. Little things were sort of lining up to allow me to come here. And I was worried at first because I did go to the wrong room. I wound up in the large hall instead of the small hall, but what are you going to do? But it's one of these things that we can see so clearly in hindsight that sometimes, even though it feels like we're fumbling around in the dark, God is there and is pulling us forward. We just have to not give up. We see the same thing illustrated in our scripture story today with Paul and Silas, who remain determined in the face of uncertainty, wandering far and wide without knowing where exactly God is taking them next. The journey of ministry is one that is difficult. Discerning the way forward can be very hard. And sometimes we have visions of God telling us what we need to do, but that's a very rare thing in my experience. I've only ever had it happen once. But I think one of the other signs that we are going the right direction is we meet people like Lydia, people who the Spirit very clearly is at work within, people who work hard to make a space for their fellow believers to call home, people who work very hard to support the teachers and the prophets, that the word of God might be shared in the community around them. And there are definitely people like that that I have met in both churches here, who have given me great support along the way. But we must be careful that we do not let our helpers burn themselves out. We must help them in turn. Our scriptures today should inspire us to be like Lydia, to take care of the people around us, to help create a warm and comforting space where all can belong, and to be like Paul and Silas, to be determined not to give up, to follow the Spirit and remain steadfast in our mission together, knowing that as we walk on this pathway together, Christ walks with us. Isn't that wonderful news? Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, there are many times in our lives when the way forward is uncertain, when we do not know where it is that you are calling us to next. We ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us as we receive your word this day, that it would inspire us and lead us. That we would trust in your Holy Spirit to take us not just where we want to go, but where you need us to go. Help us to remember that all good things happen on your clock and not ours, trusting that you will be there to lead us and guide us, that we will find our way. Bless us this day with courage to keep going and with hearts to support one another. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, let us close our time of worship by singing our final hymn together, number 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided. Whether it is you depart after our final amens or after a time of fellowship, take with you this charge and benediction when you go. Friends, the task of ministry is difficult and the way forward can often be hard to discern. But we have heard the story of the early church And our scriptures encourage us this day that as long as we trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit and we support one another with our whole hearts, we will find that the growth of the gospel is all too easy in the world around us. And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us always.